another function of our great high priest is found. I know we're talking about this talks about his advocacy, how he is our advocate, one who stands alongside. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, "My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is our propitiation for our sins, and not only ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." We have an advocate along with our great high priest, the one who stands beside us, with us.
In the last section, in Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23, for context, "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this one," referring to the Lord Jesus, "because he continues ever, having an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us," or suits us, "who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of oath which was once the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now these things which we have spoken of, this is the sum. We have such a high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man." The last part is the work of the ongoing work of the Lord Jesus as the great high priest. Someone asked, what is he doing? Well, here he's ever living to make intercession for us. He intercedes for us. He's praying for us. Think of that. The divine person takes up my interests and he prays for us. He prays for me. When I'm feeling sorry for myself, I lift my eyes to him who is at the right hand of the majesty in high and realize he's praying for me. He's a saving priest. And this is not so much salvation as deliverance from the condemnation of sin, although it's included. But here it's a daily practical reality where he is very much intimately concerned with those who have been beneficiaries of his offering, his sacrifice. And now he intercedes, ever lives to intercede for them. And then, as we've been sharing, as he comes into the very presence of God, he is there as the minister of the sanctuary. And I think this is the inspiration for that hymn, where to all our prayers and praises he adds his sweet perfume. There he is before God. Why? Because now he's bringing us in, not just merely as saved and sanctified individuals, he's bringing us in as worshipers. And really, if I can appreciate that thought, that my chief aim, my purpose for being here is to worship. But I can't do it because of I'm inadequate. Mm-hmm. I find the adequacy in the great priest who is there in the presence of God.
So he enhances or makes perfect?
Let's go here. Saying there. That really shows, though, that even being saved, even in Christ, there's still an inadequacy in the believer, that the Lord Jesus fills the void, mm-hmm. fills the need. God is that high above us so much.
And it's good to remember that. Mm. Because if we feel that we are adequate in our own selves, we are on a dangerous ground. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We always have to keep that before us, that we in ourselves cannot raise anything before God. Let's give a scripture for it. Even when we pray, the scripture says very clearly in Romans 8, "For we don't know what to pray for." who intercedes on our behalf? The Spirit of God. Okay? So some people, you know, likes to make expressions of prayer as if, like, you know what, they know it all, right? And the Lord keep us from ourselves, because this is a great danger. The same thing with worship. When we are talking about this great high priest, that he adds his sweet perfume, that you and me, in this scene, we might not know how to worship diligently of exactly what is in the mind of God, or what is in the mind of the Spirit of God. So we have this Blessed One, who is really the minister of the sanctuary, the one who can bring it before God in a way that is not only the enhancement of it, but when he presents it, it's the second word to use, is he brings it in all perfection. That God receives the worship in all perfection. There is nothing tainted in it. Why? Because Christ has removed everything that is of you and of me and of the energy of the flesh, and brought that which is suitable to the worship of God the Father. So how thankful we need to be that we have divine persons. One that help us in our prayer with long suffering, and he intercedes on our behalf to bring that which is toward the will of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who really ushers us into God, and he brings and adds his sweet perfume toward our worship.
I'd like to make a comparison with what we had in Hebrews 2 and in Hebrews 4. There, the emphasis is on our needs. Here, when we come to Hebrews 7, we see the greatness of the company. We saw that we are sons. And here in chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them." And then verse 26, "For such a high priest became us." So now it is to see the company of these priestly sons connected with the great high priest, that this company is of such an order that they needed such a high priest who is so great. And so there is, here is not the emphasis on our needs, here the emphasis on the greatness of the high priest. If he is so great, now look at him even more. Chapter 7, earlier in connection with Melchizedek, consider how great this man was. Now here, such a high priest became us, and so on, how his perfection is brought out, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And then, again, it's shown how great he is in contrast to those priests of the Old Testament. And then it is, that's, I think that Mark brought in verse 1 of chapter 8 also, because there it is summarized. There, the greatness of this high priest is summarized. We have such a high priest. So notice how great he is. But we have. So this is the company that can say, we have such a high priest who is sat down. And we talked about that earlier a little bit, the comments that Brother John made earlier. He was able to sit down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Such a high priest. And so this company of priestly sons is seen from this perspective, that this company is so wonderful in God's eyes that they need such a wonderful high priest.
Our time is up, but I think the response is self-evident as we touched on it, as we went through this. One, it gives us an appreciation for the Lord Jesus, for his work in the offering of himself. We also have the response that we recognize in our temptation and in our weakness, he is there for us. And then thirdly, who is he that is so great that he now brings us into the enjoyment of what it is to worship? That is the greatness of the high priest, and that's our response to him. That we might worship, that we might appreciate him more.
Mark, I wonder if there's one more thing to say to that. Not to that, but bring in.
thought of Melchizedek and Abraham, Abraham's response was to give him a tenth of all his everything he had. How does that filter into our high priest?
You want to discuss it now or the next slide?
Next year.
We'll take a couple minutes in the next
session. Yeah, okay. Good.